is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hello, it's Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I wish all Lifetime Christmas movies were as good as the one we're about to talk about. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. So Alonzo hates this movie.
Alonzo just giving it away here.
I'm a little triggered by Brand's top of the show greeting. Like, is that, was that gay voice or
no? Just exuberant? That's just how I say.
Wow. If what were you? I didn't even. I just heard it. It sounded just like Carnival Barker to
it's
me.
It's just. I feel like you've
for you over here.
Having heard every episode of this show multiple times, Alonzo, I feel like I've introed the show with that hello at least a dozen times.
Also don't it's wanna, just it's true. Like, coming from anybody else, it would be questionable. But you know,
I don't want to
just exuberant.
I don't want. I don't want to break the magic for anyone listening at home. But he also voices a woman on this show. I want to be very clear about that.
Oh, we're telling that now.
Yeah, okay. We are. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we've cut all Denise's stuff?
Yes.
Okay, my bad.
Denise hasn't been in the show at all.
That's right.
I made sure that Tracy cut her out.
Yeah, Trace cut all of
Denise's. It was too much.
Trace, you cut all of Denise's stuff.
I got it out.
Yeah, there it is.
God bless. Hello. We're talking about the Christmas setup today. 2020. Lifetime's it was like the big announcements last year was Hallmark, we got the Christmas house, and Lifetime said we see your Christmas house,
right,
and we'll actually give you a real
we'll
same sex couple.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right.
An A story.
Yes. That's right. And so we're gonna talk about it. Very excited about it. You know, part of the shame about doing the show with the amount of movies that Hallmark does is I don't get around to the Lifetime movies.
Nope.
And so it's been fun to finally get through a few of the movies from 2020, like Feliz Navidad from last week.
Yeah, that was the good stuff there.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Got a lot of emails about me saying people should be shot, and all of you are right. You're all right. I'm wrong. There we go.
No, ahead. That's fair. That's fair. And I just want to say, you know, there's the conversation we've had over the last few weeks, months, as Hallmark's changed up kind of the way that they're doing the movies. Some of them are happy and fun and wacky, like The Baker's Son. Some of them are very sad, like Lacey Chabert's movie. And it's like, do people really want that? Or do they just want the same thing over and over again? I think the argument for the same thing over and over again is Lifetime. Because Lifetime Christmas movies, the range of quality is, to me, so much more glaring
it's
than
baffling.
Hallmark.
It's baffling.
It's so much more glaring than Hallmark.
Yeah. This and Feliz Navidad both aired in 2020.
Within Feliz 2 weeks Navidad, of each other.
Feliz Navidad was the big show, though. That was like Thanksgiving week or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is, I would much prefer the giant waves and crashes of Lifetime. It's more fun for me to watch than just having a vanilla milkshake every week. You know what I mean? Like, to me, this is
the mushy middle.
This is the way to do it. This is the, we'll get to our hot takes in a little bit. I'm not saying this movie's my favorite movie I've ever seen, but compare this with Feliz Navidad.
Forget about it.
What?
Forget about it, yeah.
So that is way more fun to me. If I get a snowed-in Christmas, I'll take 5 Feliz Navidads any day.
Yeah.
But that's much better than, 25 Christmas ornaments or whatever that, Brendan Penny's movies that they do, so
got them on the line.
Brendan, I'm sorry, man. No. Okay.
No, he's gone. Magical, he has our number and he
Christmas
just
ornaments.
Magical Christmas ornaments. Yeah. Clearly just
keeps prank calling us.
Keep prank calling us. It's wild.
I feel like I should know this, but are we doing magical? No, we've already seen.
You did it. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
All right. It's featured in the book.
Check out our book.
Yeah.
Check out our book.
You probably need to read it just to.
I need to read up on it. I always tell people, man, like,
do
I can.
You think I brought up a name of a Hallmark movie we'd not seen?
That's fair. That's fair.
Brand and Panda are so memento about this. They're going to read that book and be like, wow, these movies sound amazing.
You know what? That's the target demo for Hallmark. Can we be honest? People that forget them a month later.
No, like, I will say.
That's right.
I will say this. The things that I'm going to be surprised about with the book is once I read the synopsis, I'll always be like, I remember that movie 9 times out of 10. There's a couple movies that I don't recall ever seeing and you know, in the just the downtrodden times of Thanksgiving week. But overall, I remember the movies. I couldn't tell you the titles of them to save my life because there so many of them are just whatever. But the thing that is going to be most surprising as I've gone through the pages is the hot takes. I just, yeah. It's always it's always shocking to me, surprising to see what I said about a movie that I felt like I really liked. And it's like, this is not my favorite. And I'm like, what?
But you did that with literally the spring movies.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you had, or the winter movies, you had the Rady movie way higher. And then we did the rankings and you're like, no, I don't like that movie.
I liked it. I just brought it down a little bit to be friendships.
Sometimes you got to sit with them. You
That's
know,
right.
Really.
Yeah. You got to marinate with New Year's Eve. Got to really like get in there. And
it's New Year's resolution, you monster.
New Year's Eve was in the theaters and not any better, no, to be honest. No.
It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
we're talking about the Christmas setup. It originally aired on December 12th, 2020.
2020!
And it went a little something like this. Hugo, which, by the way, fantastic name. There's not enough Hugos out there, right?
Just keep going.
There's not a lot of movies.
Agreed.
Hugo is a dedicated lawyer. By the way, lawyers. Not enough. And he hopes to land a partner position at his law firm. He gives an ultimatum to his boss and says, I'm going to quit if I don't get this. He walks out after his boss just stares at him. And that's not a good sign. Hugo shows up to meet up with his BFF, Madeline. They seem to be either going or coming from ice skating because they're carrying around ice skates, but we don't see them do it, so who can really tell? He invites Madeline to come with him home for Christmas.
Come with him home. Saw him live.
Coming at me home. Hugo's mother is Fran Drescher, and she is fully Fran Drescher in this movie. Fran Drescher immediately puts them to work, and she has Hugo stay home to wait for the Christmas tree delivery. The Christmas tree delivery guy is a hunk named Patrick, who Hugo sees at the window. He knows him. Patrick is a little bit older than him. They went to the same high school. He gets excited. He falls down the stairs, and Hugo offers to help put the Christmas tree. He's wearing his tool belt. It's a whole thing. Patrick recognizes Hugo, and they make awkward small talk, and there are sparks. Hugo gushes to Maddie about Patrick and gets out his high school yearbook to show him off. Patrick was fully out in high school. Hugo was not out until college, and so they never had an opportunity to have those conversations together when they were in high school. They noticed that Patrick left his work gloves behind, and Hugo sees that as a sign to see him again. The town's historic train station is being demolished, ruining the tradition of the town showing up to write their wishes to Santa. Fran Drescher has been protesting in the town, and she got arrested for organizing a sit-in. Can you imagine a sit-in with Fran Drescher?
Oh my gosh. No.
It's Dan's worst nightmare. At the Christmas...
I'd rather see the band sit-in with Fran Drescher.
They're not bad.
They're really
They're solid. Not bad.
Acoustic stuff's great.
Dude, they're going to be at Coachella this year.
Really?
Main stage.
Oh.
At the Christmas tree farm, Maddie and Hugo find Patrick, return his gloves. Patrick is thankful and reveals that he was the inventor of an app called Cassandra, which is, best I understand, magic. He sold the app and has enough money to retire, which is why he's helping his dad run the Christmas tree farm. Patrick assumed Maddie and Hugo were married, and that bums him out. Fran Drescher clears things up and even hits on Patrick's father, which no one saw coming, including Patrick's father. Patrick and Hugo decided to meet up at the Christmas tree lot for a hot chocolate date. Patrick is late and Hugo is sad and he ends up leaving. And Patrick says, I had to work late. Sorry about it. The next day, Patrick shows up to apologize for being tardy to the date, and Fran Drescher leaves them to bond while decorating lights on the roof, and the ladder falls. It's a big fun. Patrick learns that Hugo's a lawyer. He's not a fan of lawyers, but is he still a fan of Hugo? Find out next. The next day, Hugo has to step into town, and he has to become the Santa. After the normal Santa is sick, he crushes it as Santa. And after seeing how good he is with kid, Patrick sets up a second attempt at a date at 10 p.m., which hurt me to my core thinking about being out that late. Patrick sets up this picnic and these cookies. It's wonderful. They share memories with one another about growing up in the town and all that stuff. Aiden, Hugo's brother, he's coming in from Germany. Maddie thinks he's a hottie, and who doesn't? They all Christmas carol while wearing ridiculous hats. And while singing, Hugo gets a call, and it's his boss saying, "Hey, I heard what you said. I'm going to give you partnership, and you're going to go to London." He tells Maddie, who is thrilled for him, but he's also clearly conflicted because he's loving being home, and he's also falling for Patrick. As they decorate the old train station, Hugo and Patrick grow closer and closer together. So do Maddie and Aiden, who are pushed together by, you guessed it, Fran Drescher. Patrick asks Hugo to consider moving home. They almost kiss, but they're interrupted by a Cassandra alert. Cassandra alert!
Cassandra alert!
They drive out to the middle of nowhere. They sit in the bed of Patrick's truck, and they look up at the northern lights. And nothing makes you want to kiss than the northern lights. Nothing makes you want to kiss more than the northern lights. And so they do. The family plays a Christmas trivia game and invites Patrick to join. They have a lot of fun until Maddie spills the beans about the job offer. Patrick is shocked, but he's trying to be supportive. Hugo works on a tiny little wooden town for his mother that he started back with his father back in the day, and is finally going to finish it. Since he's a lawyer, he is also trying to figure out a way to prevent the train station from being demolished. Patrick invites Hugo, Maddie, and Aiden to a gathering with a bunch of friends. Patrick and Hugo have a heart-to-heart conversation. Patrick says that I wish you weren't moving because I really love having you here. They talk about long distance. And then Hugo is brought up on stage just saying, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas." Didn't see it coming. And it's the full version. Thank God. He actually crushes it, and Patrick gets emotional, storms off. Hugh goes after him, and Patrick's like, "I just can't do this. You're leaving. I just can't do this anymore." It's Christmas Eve, and the brother surprises Fran Drescher with the miniature town, and she loves it. Maddie decides to stay in town till New Year's to spend it with Aiden. They're going to try to do a long-distance thing. Woohoo! At the train station, Hugo makes a speech about diversity and saving the historical landmark and that this is our home. Patrick shows up and hears that speech, and he's like, "That's a good speech. Good speech. I don't know from it." And he tells Hugo that he really wants to make this thing work. The Christmas train pulls into town. It's not that Christmas train. It's a different what? Christmas train.
Candy on the
it's
bar?
It's a different Christmas train. No? Everyone rushes out to see, and the town people load up the gifts for the children. Hugo and Patrick hold hands, and they kiss, and Fran Drescher takes a picture of them. It's a beautiful ending, and that, my friends, was the Christmas setup.
Exactly right. We did it.
We did do it, everybody.
A long synopsis.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Did you feel like it wasn't necessary? I could have maybe kept out the miniature train.
You're already thinking it through what you could have cut out.
Could have cut out the miniature train.
It was just fine, bro.
I don't know what else I could have. I mean, aside from the miniature train.
I didn't mean to make you doubt yourself.
I know the
and frankly, there's even stuff you didn't even get to, which I'll be covering later.
Well, and we'll get to that, but the reason I didn't realize it was going to be important until the end, I didn't realize it was going to be a thing. It was going to be a thing. That's on me. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Philo. Philo, turn the TV on and go.
Philo.
I like this, and I think we should keep working on it after. But for now, I think we should talk about Philo and how amazing it is.
Yeah. You got kids? You want kids programming? Philo's got it. You want to watch Christmas TV movies in July? Who doesn't? Philo's got it. You want to watch your reality shows? Philo's got it. They got over 60 channels for $25 a month and an unlimited DVR that lasts for a year.
Wow.
It doesn't get better than that, or does it?
No.
It doesn't?
It doesn't.
Not whoa!
I take it back, it does. 25% off is how it gets better than that. 25% off for 2 months, unlimited DVR. It's amazing. Philo.tv/DTH. Philo.tv/DTH. Let's go finish our song. I'm sorry. Welcome.
You know, you and I are always just in lockstep, finish each other's sandwiches and all that. And sometimes I throw you just a lob, just a straight up. I just like
T-ball.
This, here it comes. And you know.
Doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better than that.
It does not, Dan. Back to you.
Spread this sucker up.
Thanks for asking.
Okay. Go and get it at full price.
Well, let's talk about the Christmas setup. I'm going to go to Alonzo first for the hot take. Alonzo, had you seen this movie before? And if so, what did you think about it then and now?
Oh, once or twice. I'll tell you, you know, when they announced this movie, I was very excited about it. I thought, you know, great. It's, you know, long overdue. I'm a fan of a lot of the people involved. The director, Pat Mills, did an indie film a couple of years ago called Guidance. It's really funny. And so, you know, I was like very on board for this. But at the same time, you know, we've been burned before. You know, there's been stuff that I was hoping was going to be, you know, groundbreaking or whatever. And it just was kind of like, you know, and then you have to sort of say nice things about it because you want somebody else to do it again, but do it right. I love this movie. Like, this was my favorite of the 2020 crop across all channels. I think it is one of the best Lifetime movies. It is one of the best of the kinds of movies that we're talking about here, of these Christmas cable movies. I will even give it the highest praise, which is borderline real movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy.
I don't disagree with that at all. It's true. Like, you know, to go back to what we were talking about, it's truly astounding that this movie and Feliz Navidad aired on the same network. Like, it is truly astounding. This movie is like, you know, could have been on the streaming, like it could have been it could have been on the streaming services or whatever. Like, it could have been a bigger deal than just Lifetime. I'm not saying Lifetime's not a big deal, but you know what I'm saying. It's just fantastic. The two guys are just so good. I loved watching them on screen together. The chemistry was clear there. Are they together in real life?
An actual couple. Yeah.
So that played really well. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't.
But it did in this case. It was just fantastic.
I've got a Peña Vega that tells you it's not always.
Yeah, not always. Truly fantastic. Definitely in the top five, top three for me. I'll have to, again, sit on it and then read it, my actual thoughts in a book in a couple
third
of years.
Third edition, maybe.
But yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not as high as you two. The two leads are wonderful in this movie. Ben Lewis, Blake Lee are fantastic, and their chemistry and storyline is wonderful. The rest of it that's not these two together felt very, very half-baked to me.
Fran Drescher cloud your judgment.
I'm going to get the... No. It's part of it. It's 100% part of it. Do you know what's more grating than Fran Drescher? A horse Fran Drescher, because she's been Fran Drescher her whole life. That was really hard for me. I never could even watch a scene of The Nanny growing up. And so she is literally, her voice is going because she's Fran Drescher. Like, it's not a part, like, it's not a choice she made for the character. Like, and she just takes you completely out of it to me. There's a cool history of the train station thing that is underdone and underbaked. The idea is she's setting them up, underdone, underbaked. The Cassandra, all of the things that aren't these two people who are locking eyes and clearly in love by the end of this movie didn't really land for me. Is it miles better than one Feliz Navidad? Yes. Is it better than average because of that? Absolutely. But it just was like, to me, it felt very much like a safe play, like a, hey, yes, same-sex couples can do this just as well as anyone else does it, and let me show you by making sure we don't change anything else aside from these two leads being well above average. So that was my, like, I'm sorry that I'm not gonna make any friends with that take, but it just seemed very standard to half-baked aside from the leads, in my opinion.
Well, at least you didn't shoot anyone this week.
I mean,
baby steps.
I mean, there's 40 movies last year from Hallmark. I mean, I would say at least 30 times if I'd seen this instead of what I watched, I'd have been like, thank goodness. So, you know, I'm not saying it's bad by any stretch. I just felt like the two leads were great, and Fran Drescher really hurt a lot for me. And then none of the side things really added up to much, in my opinion. So, you know, there you go.
It's time for all the feels. Part of the show where we try to get past Dan and talk about our feels. And
don't put Fran Drescher in a movie. I mean, I don't. What do you want from me? I'm sorry. You guys are just cool with Fran Drescher?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm cool with her.
What's wrong with Fran Drescher? Oh, she's a delight.
Oh, no. No.
She look, I even bought her as Christian in this movie, and that's a stretch.
Yeah. I bought her as Fran Drescher.
Alonzo, feels?
Well, I mean, tons of inclusion feels, first of all. I mean, just the fact that this movie exists and the way it does is great. And to piggyback on Dan, it is nice to see, even if they're going to go through some of the things that we know we're going to get in these movies, the meet cute, the almost kiss, whatever, it's automatically interesting to see that with two dudes just because we haven't before.
More than fair. Yes.
I think the historical guy subplot is actually really good and really interesting. It's the kind of thing that you wouldn't necessarily see in these movies and that does touch upon a real thing, which
can
is
you give the people the rundown really no, quick
would,
on that?
And to, before you start, I want to be clear. If we take it out Christmas Town that they're painting and we get more of that and get some more history and context, it's just a home run of a storyline. Yeah.
And okay. I guess, you know, and to Dan's maybe point, like I didn't realize it was going to be a big part of the storyline until the end when it was.
For me, they underplayed that to the hilt, and I thought it was a great idea, and it just was under a mountain of this Christmas town, and Dad used to make chairs, and Cassandra's an app that knows everything. Like, it just, it didn't, I wanted that. That's what I wanted.
Okay. Fair enough. What they come to find out is there's this one sort of benefactor who really kind of created the neighborhood association and built the train station, and, you know, never married. There's this other guy that he, like, left a lot of his estate to. They see pictures of the two of them traveling the world. They find on the back of this photo that, like, the guy who was clearly his partner really loved Christmas, which is why he established the whole Christmas Eve tradition of the letters to Santa and the train and everything. And it all pays off really beautifully you get a close up of the picture of the two of them in the train station, and their hands are like just barely touching. Like, it's this very kind of subtle thing. And so then this movie ends with Hugo and Patrick clasping hands, kissing, and being photographed in the same spot. It's like, you know, history moving forward. I would have liked maybe a little more setup. A lot of it happens kind of hastily, but I think it delivers on the idea of it, and I got feels from that. I got feels from the fact that like they were having conversations like recognizable human beings.
Yes.
Like that they talk about the cocoa at Dominique Ancel, which is a real thing, that the words queer community center and local drag scene are being said in a cable Christmas movie, that of the two sons in this family, the one who was close to the dad and who like was taught how to do the woodworking stuff wasn't the one who went off and joined the Air Force. It was the gay one.
That's great.
Usually we would see that would be reverse. Hugo does crush Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, but he does so in a realistic way. Like, his singing is not perfect. It's not like one of those Jessica Lowndes movies where something like everything stops and we all talk about what a great singer she is. Like, he gets up and does the kind of performance that somebody who can sing would do when suddenly called upon to go on stage, not having rehearsed and having a drag queen you've never met before accompanying you on the piano. And then the whole thing with the old picture and then how that ties into the end, like that, those were my feels. I had a lot of them.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas for me gave me feels just because that song always gives me feels, but it was also just, it was, as Alonzo pointed out, it was just well done. Like, it was, he clearly isn't really comfortable doing it, but he did it, and it's good. It was just a good scene. Northern Lights work for me this time. They don't always work in these movies because they do the Northern Lights a lot in these movies.
Yep.
But this time it worked. And like them nerding out over the Northern Lights and stuff like that before the Northern Lights happen, and then it just kind of takes their breath away. Just great scene.
Yeah, the Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas seems great, but the end of this movie, Alonzo already painted the picture perfectly. The end of this movie just absolutely nails the landing completely with how they show the picture from the past and they show kind of the progress of what's being able to take place, not only for those two characters, but if you take a step back and make it meta for us watching the movie. And I thought that was wonderful. And I thought they really nailed that a lot. I just wanted more of it because there's a lot of subplots that I just was didn't have anything, have any reason to enjoy at all. But that the ending of this movie was great. Really good.
You have to pick one Fran Drescher scene to give you feels.
Is there one she's quiet? I like, she did a really good job being excited for both of her boys to come home. Like I like
good on you.
That
good
on like you. She did the, like, that was really cool when he was like,
"You're so skinny."
She was going to say that she's going to say that I'm skinny. And to be fair, weirdly enough, if I'm going to have to watch Fran Drescher, I just want it at a 10, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like, she did a good job with both of those those scenes.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
For what, you know, she's just not my thing, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Let's get to the break time, and then we'll come back and we'll do the Wait What's
Here. Let's get to that break time.
We are back. We're talking about the Christmas setup from 2020, and we're talking about the Wait What's part. Shall we talk about one of the few minutes ago? Wait What? Alonzo.
I didn't have a ton, to be honest. Like, I mean, yeah, the Cassandra app is a little vague, but I mean, he at least sort of tries to boil it down to being numbers and probability, and that it doesn't necessarily predict things, but you know, that he compares it to the Magic 8 Ball means it's a bit of a lark. But I could also see where I get what they're trying to, like, as Christmas TV movie explanations of technology go, I've seen much worse. my only way, what, and this is to kind of piggyback on what Brand just said, thematically and like narratively, they use the Northern Lights really well in this movie, and the way that that scene is constructed and how it pushes them into their first kiss and all that stuff. Visually, these movies never ever fake it very well. Oh. It's always the clunkiest green screen, and it's like
real
bad.
It
always kind of takes me out of it with how fakey it is. Real quick fun fact, though. Did you guys recognize the actor who plays the brother in this
Cheerful
movie?
Christmas dude? Did I recognize
Cheerful
him?
Christmas movie. Also, elevator guy in Double Holiday.
That's right. Yeah. Both and. I just couldn't get out of the Cheerful Christmas was just, that was hard to get past. So.
Well, sure. Yeah, I know. But we forgive him.
I do forgive him. I have a couple. One, when Patrick first shows up, he has the Christmas tree and they're trying to get it through the door. And I'm just here to say, you always just jam that sucker through the door.
Yes.
Like, they've been and they've been back. You just shove that sucker through. You don't have to prune it.
All the branches usually are in a bag and they're all facing that way. And so as long as you go, stuff first. All you do is keep going.
You just shove that sucker through.
You keep going.
You just keep going. It's going to be okay. They're getting ready to go caroling, and Fran Drescher says that back in the day, everyone wore hats while caroling.
Oh.
And yes, maybe, but also back in the day, everyone wore hats everywhere.
Everywhere.
So a caroling bit. And last but not least, I personally, and again, I don't know, but I've never seen an open mic night with fire. It was a new thing for me to see. After the first song, like, there's flames going on, sparklers are going. I've never seen an open mic like that, but I'm here for it, and I'd like to see it.
I love it.
I will say this. I believe that the drag queen, Gladys Claus is her name, I believe.
Sure.
She's the host.
So she gets the fire.
If you're hosting an open mic night, you can preset up pyro. I don't think anybody wanders in off the street gets
that. Just the host can preset up the pyro. That's more than fair. No, I like that.
That's a good rule of thumb, though, everybody. Yeah. If you want fire at open mic night, you better lead it.
But if you're wearing a lot of hairspray, you know,
be careful. Watch out. You know, early in this movie, I think one of my issues is that, you know, for all of the save the old buildings, you know, plots that we've seen, this movie doesn't do a good job of selling me on why they need to save the old building until we get the backstory later on. In fact, early on, Fran Drescher says, I think that the community, like board or whatever, said that it's more important to have a working train kiosk than just another old leaky building. And to that, I would reply, yes, it is. In fact, more important that people can use public transportation than it is to have a leaky building. Yes, yes, that is more important. Now they do come back around and they do it better later on. My man Hugo pays $20 for one hot cocoa in Milwaukee. 20 spot, walks away.
Wow.
He's doing it. I mean, lawyer in New York, he's high rolling for sure. Hey, this is a serious question. Are cargo shorts cool again? Someone please let me know. Hugo defends cargo shorts because I'm back in. If somebody tells me, are they cool again?
I've never stopped wearing cargo shorts just because I like going through the summer not sitting on my wallet.
But yeah,
I
me too.
I don't care if they're cool or not.
But then I stopped because I got all this flack from students and all these people.
Hey, you do, man.
I wore regular shorts, and I've gotten used to the regular shorts. But if cargo shorts are coming back around, like, I could be talked into it for sure.
At some point, Daniel, you will reach the age at which you stop caring.
Oh, man, I don't know.
It's a beautiful place to be.
Very important to me. Typically, if you're going to be Santa Claus, you try to make yourself fatter, not thinner. That was a very weird bit for me. It was a romantic bit where they have him, you know, make the outfit fit better. But it's weird if you see a Santa Claus come out and they're skinny, right? Like, you're putting some pillows in there. Like, you're not having them, like, draw the waistline in with Santa. Wouldn't you want, like, a big, you know, jovial belly for Santa Claus?
The gays like a fit, what can I tell you?
But
they
also...
They like a tailored fit.
But also cargo shorts, and I want to be clear about that, because it seems hypocritical.
Hugo and I do. We endorse this.
At one point, he says, I think he's been wearing the same pair of jeans all week long. Why? Like, you came home to your parents' house, you didn't change clothes. How about that thing when you're sitting across from someone that you really love and admire, and you each have a 12-ounce beer, and you pour 3 ounces into a glass to drink? What's that about? Why can't we pour the whole beer bottle into a glass like normal human beings? Why in the world are we taking double shots of beer? Why
I like it though because it's just like it's less heavy on your hand.
You know what I mean?
I don't want my hand to hurt drinking beer.
I just don't understand. They show them pouring the beer and they pour this
too
much.
It's too much.
You know the reason though, right?
They ran out of beer.
No, just because they got to do multiple takes. It's why people take like crumbs of cake.
Want it to be covered by their hand when they're
doing 80,000 times.
Don't show
times.
Them pouring it. Just have it sit there. Then I mean that's pretty straightforward. And then lastly, I've got one. I'll say for the what the lifetime. But lastly, you know, this guy Patrick is at least a multimillionaire. Like, right, he sold this app.
Sure.
He's at least a multimillionaire.
He's able to retire.
He can retire at what appears to be maybe 35 years old, maybe. I get it, he cares about the community of Milwaukee. But the idea that Hugo's going to London, it really shouldn't phase, like, he can do whatever he wants to do. Right?
But like, he wants to be in
I understand that, but like...
I think the dad plays a role in this.
Okay.
He didn't come out and say that, but I think that's why he wants to stay in Milwaukee, right?
You would think so, but if you've got millions and millions of dollars and the person you love, you know, has a job in London that's maybe temporary, like, that seems like the probably the easiest solution in the world. Like, hey, we'll get an apartment and I'll be here, you know... Three weeks out of the month,
he would
or every
have to
other
get
month.
A second job driving one of those SSD trucks at Christmas time to save up the money.
That's right. Yeah. He definitely wouldn't have the money to fly to London a few times. I mean, that didn't make any sense.
But
to
if
me.
You truly believe that he, like the person that you love, could be incredibly beneficial here in your hometown, which you both love,
I understand that. You
ask him to stay.
This movie dares to not even feign financial problems, which I love. Like, we've got rich lawyer and we've got rich retired entrepreneur, and the money is not an issue, never will be, never has
$20
been.
$20 hot cocoa.
Like, this doesn't even act like they're middle class, all right? They are both doing great, okay? But then their problems are basically distance problems, and I just, that it doesn't make any sense. If they found the person that they love.
It's not just about the distance.
There
Dan.
Isn't, you know, it doesn't, there's not a lot there for me to be like, yeah, you guys can't.
It's
can't
not about the, it's about caring for your hometown, Dan.
I'm just saying.
Have some hometown products for once in your
today.
Life.
I'm yes, going today please. To buy some cargo shorts, all right?
I know you still have
now.
Them.
I love it.
You know you still have them.
Oh, they're all too big for me now.
But isn't that how you want the cargos?
That's right. Get that braided belt cinched all the way up and over. You know the kind.
Oh boy, don't I.
Dude, that's the only way my Three Doors Down t-shirt fits, in fact, is if I cinch it all the way. Okay.
It's kryptonite.
Do you have a Santa outfit, maybe?
Yeah.
It's time for the What the Lifetime part of the show. We wonder what could have happened. Maybe give some resolution to anything that we're still wondering about Alonzo.
Well, unlike Daniel, I'm not a monster, and I do enjoy Fran Drescher in this movie, man, because she is a delight. However, if Hugo stays in town and he and Patrick, like, get married, you know, set up housekeeping together, how are they going to keep her from just popping in all the time?
No kidding.
Because you know she's just going to, like, she's going to want a key.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to just feel like, my son is home and I love his husband. And what are we doing this weekend, guys? And it's like, I want to be there when the boundaries get set up.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, I mean, mine is also Fran related. And it's, did she actually like the model houses? Because I felt like she kind of didn't. She didn't seem like amazed by it. She kind of been like, all right, like it was you're too old to be making model houses type of reaction.
Yeah.
It was an interesting reaction. I want to know if she actually liked it.
Because
I wasn't impressed by it.
We saw another model house movie, A Gift to Remember Two, Cherish Memories.
That's a great model house bit.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful model house bit. Like, it's the best part of the movie. And this just didn't need to be, like, he could have just fixed the chair. Like, it just didn't need to be a thing. It never really worked out. No one cared, and it just was, he did a lot of work.
No one seemed to care.
Her seeing the chair is actually a more moving moment.
Yes, say, for sure. It's beautiful.
Getting the neighborhood.
Yeah. She saw the house, and she was like, this is what you've been doing all week.
It's a great friend. Huh? That's like Tracy doing Fran Drescher.
I knocked it out of the park, believe you me.
You have a great Fran, Trace, for sure.
Me and Fran go way back.
Yeah. Mine is, do you? How far back do you go?
24 years.
24 years.
How old do you think I am?
You'll never tell us, Trace.
No, I won't. Lady never tells.
They had the same diction coach.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That guy wakes up laughing.
Yeah.
he's like, what do you do for a living? You won't even, don't even. It's a riot. Just trust me. I'm buying. The Cassandra app is mine because the best I can figure is this thing pretty much just takes all of our worst fears about the internet and gives it a virtual playground. like all the things that we worry about listening to us and getting too much information, this is just all in one funnel to Cassandra. That's the best I can figure.
I love that there's an app that exists that you can put in high school, lawyer.
That's right.
One other piece of information, and you get late night snack as cookies. I love that that app exists.
Yeah. It's worrisome, but yes, it does. And so I'm interested as to how much money he got for this technology, which will literally change the game entirely. I hope he didn't sell it short. And clearly he didn't do it because he was burned out or had a moral problem with Cassandra, because he still uses Cassandra.
He loves it.
I've got questions about the app, the interface, how much information is it actually getting from us, and how much Patrick got.
It only takes in the information that you give it.
That's right. Yeah.
That's true. Because he inputted all of the information to spit out cookies.
But there's a scene where Cassandra notifies him.
Yes, because he said, notify me when there's a plus 40% chance of Northern Lights.
But when he describes it, it's most definitely more than that.
No, I don't think so. I think it's all above board.
Also, in mythology, isn't Cassandra the prophetess who's doomed to have no one believe her? Isn't that not a great name for your app?
It's not a great name.
Take seriously?
Maybe Cassie.
It's kind of like how
nosy neighbor Cassie.
It's like how Trojans is a terrible name for a condom because the Trojans are famous for getting through the wall.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not a great name.
Not great. Yeah. Who thought of that?
Yeah.
Bad news.
We did, everybody.
We did it.
Congratulations. But, you know, the sad thing is we're already into week two of Christmas in July. It's all basically over at this point.
Calm down. Just calm down.
Christmas is not.
Here's the thing is, you and I both know this. You got to get through August and then it's back on.
Oh, it's back on.
It's back on. Bramble Fest.
Oh boy.
Into September.
Yeah. Yep.
October Marathon, Countdown to Christmas kickoff, and then we're in your wheelhouse.
In my wheelhouse.
It's pretty much all gravy after August. And my birthday's in August. So come on. Chin up just a little just for me.
We're going to be back tomorrow with another Christmas movie. We're going to leave you. Alonzo, you got any words of wisdom you want to depart the people with?
I have two real quick.
Okay.
One, there's a great app called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, not Cassandra, Libby, yeah. That if you have a library card, it gets you access to ebooks and audiobooks. And if you want to listen to Fran Drescher's audiobook of her own memoir, I highly recommend it. Oh. Second of all, speaking of local queer community centers, as they do in this movie, your community probably has one. And so if you have the time or the money to help them out, you should.
Very good. I love it.
Fantastic. We're going to be back next week with another one. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be another one. And we'll be back tomorrow with another one, too. Also don't know.
All doozies.
All doozies, I can guarantee you that. And all Christmas. All Christmas all the time here right now. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.